So actually, before we start looking, I'll tell you what I was thinking about. I suspect that when we study, when we learn, we make divisions which either are real or not real. So in our minds, and you could disagree with me now, or you could say, no, I never thought of it that way. It's like there are a number of episodes. There is the creation episode, and then you have the sin, the tree of Eitz Hadas Tov Ra, and then you have the Cain and Hevel, and then you and you could actually break all of these up more. You have the Cain and Hevel story, and then you have a whole bunch of boring things that we tend to skip. Then we have the prelude to the flood, and then we have the flood story, and then we have, you know, a couple little things there. Then we have the tower story. So essentially, are these just really a bunch of independent stories, or is there actually a connection between them? Which means, are we dealing with And maybe I'll stop at some point and say, no, not all of them are connected. Maybe at some point this beginning story ends. But essentially what I'm asking is it really fair to make the divisions? And I know one of the divisions which is natural for us, which is obviously, once I say the next phrase, is that we'll be following the Babylonian rite. So now you know what I'm talking about, which means Parshat Bereishit and Parshat Noach are two different parshiot. So therefore this ends and that begins, and therefore we have... I would almost use the word natural, but it's not natural, because somebody decided that there is a division over there. So is that division a what's the word we should use? Not the word natural. Is it organic? Is that really an organic? You'll start thinking that I only eat organic food or something. So at least some of you know that the salami I eat is not necessary. It's made from some organic material, but it's not necessarily organic. Is this organically connected or not? And look, the other thing that we do is that we divide in terms of chapters. And we know that that's not organic. That was just what the archbishop decided is the way that you make a division. So therefore, I'm asking this question again. Is how many stories do we have? Yes, there are parts to it. Or are these separate things? So I'm saying that as the introduction, and now you probably know where I'm going, and you probably now know what I was looking for, even though if you don't know the exact examples. But now let's begin. When we start, and this is the introduction, Vayihi ki hachel ha'adam l'rov al pnei ha'adama uvnot yuldu lahem. So in this sense, ha'adam is not the person, it's the species. When the species began to multiply, which ostensibly is a good thing, that was one of the things they were commanded to do, to multiply. And there were daughters born. Now that the commentaries don't know what to do with, because that's really, you know, in terms of human history, it's probably a 50-50, even though I think it's slightly more. It's like 50 point something that more girls than boys are born. They seem to do better in have better survival rates. Why is that surprising? So there are all kinds of comments to try to make sense of that. Or it simply could be an introduction to the next thing. V'yir'u b'nei ha'elohim et b'not ha'adam ki tavod hena v'chulim nashim mikol asher bacharu. So I prefer to translate b'nei ha'elohim as the sons of the powerful. Elohim, like it's used later on in the Torah, the judges, the people who are positions of power. And therefore we have our first Me Too moment, where the powerful men go and they take the daughters of man. And they took anyone they wanted. And we've read this verse in previous years. I've always pointed out that I hope you don't read this as a romantic gesture, that they took them. It doesn't say they took them to dinner or to the show, or it says they took them, and there's something very, very wrong about that. And, you know, I mentioned the Me Too movement, so we realize at this point that the Me Too movement is something which is very popular, unless, of course, the victims are Jewish women or Israeli women, then suddenly there's not the same kind of sympathy anymore. I do want to read the comment over here in source 4 of the Netziv. Vayar Hashem, Let's read the next verse. B'meshach me'ah ve'esrim shana ra'ah ki ra'ah ta'adam rabah v'holechet yoter v'yoter me'asher lifnim. That for 120 years, God sees how the situation deteriorates. Rak rak kol hayom. Yadua dirahu ben adam l'chavero. Everyone knows, the Netziv tells us, that the word ra indicates interpersonal relationship. He'ida katuv eich shadam ibeid kol kach dat enoshi ad shekol machshevotem haya eich lahara la'achirim. They lost so much of their human identity until they spent all their time thinking. By the way, it's really interesting because one would say that the ability to think, to have cognition, is something which is a very human trait. But, right, I don't know, for the last couple of days, we had my daughter was staying here with her dog, and the dog is not an impressive animal. Some of you maybe think it is, but it's not an impressive animal. It was very good-natured. Very good-natured. Definitely does not realize how big it is and how frightening it is. But when it was sitting there, stoically, I don't know if it was contemplating all kinds of questions of existence and trying to wonder how we got here and what kind of cosmic soup created the abilities for the evolutionary process which brought about its canine ancestors. I have a suspicion that that was not necessarily the thoughts it was having. I think it was more so stuck in the present, trying to interpret the various smells that were around, trying to think which ones they can eat. I don't think that there was anything else going on at the time. And I don't think that they worry about the mortgage payments in the future. I don't think that they worry about the past. I think that they live very much in the present. But a human being, part of what we have, and this goes back, I think, to the Tzelem Elokim, is that we have this ability to think, this ability to process, therefore this ability to be depressed, and this ability to be haunted by the past, and the ability to worry about the future. I'm just not convinced that the dog, maybe, I know all of you will tell me, especially animal lovers, what are you talking about? My dog is depressed. The dog is depressed if you're depressed. You're depressed. The dog feels your depression. They get depressed. I'm not even going to charge you for that diagnosis. But I don't think that the animal deals a lot with thinking about the past or the future. Yes, there's going to be certain type of instinctual behaviors which are learned based upon things that have happened in the past, but that's more, what's the term, Pavlovian, than it is learned behavior, than it's necessarily a question of cognition. I mean, the main thing that actually Pavlov proved is that he can get people to ring bells. Right? It was behavior modification on people. But okay, we'll leave it at that. We'll stop with that. But you go back to the Netziv, and the Netziv is talking about man using their cognitive abilities to plot how they're going to hurt others. I know that all the other rabbis this week are going to note that the word Hamas appears here a couple of times in the narrative, but this Netziv is so much stronger than that. Let's take a look again. He says that Eich Shadam Kol Kach Der Anoshi Ad Shekol Machshavotem Haya Eich Lahara La'Acherim. All of their thoughts, their cognition, was how they can hurt others. Umimela, and therefore it turns out Hayugorim Gam Michayot. They therefore had become, they deteriorated to the point they were worse than animals. Because they don't have the same kind of ability to think to destroy others. It doesn't come across because of moral corruption. Animals, in their nature, they will go and they will attack others because they feel that they need it. But human beings come to this point where they become so much corrupt, who mitzad hashchatat teva v'nase behergel kmo teva hasheni lazik kol efshari, until their nature becomes so corrupt and they've become so evil, until all that they do is that they sit and plan and to think about all the damage they can do. Fine. Look what I said in other places. So I'm going to say it again. This description of the Netziv, to my mind, yes, it's silly to compare. It is silly to compare. But his point is correct nonetheless, is that man is blessed with the ability to think, and we can use that ability to think in order to have emotions and to be compassionate and to reach out and do things to help others, or we can use that ability to think in order to do damage. And his point over here is the corruption of man. Now, it's the corruption that I obviously want to come back to in source number 5, Atishacheta Aretz Lefnei Elohim V'Temlei Aretz Hamas. That's the verse that everyone's going to speak about. And then again in the next pasuk, now this whole section number 5 in Perek Vav, and this is all Elokim. Elokim sees this, and Elokim is a judge, and Elokim sees all this damage, and therefore, Pasuk source 6 will continue. Vaydeber Elokim Onoach, right? This is at the end of the whole thing. It's all a section of Elokim. So I want to go backwards a little bit now. In source number 1, which we didn't necessarily pay attention to before, Pasuk Gimel is Vayomer Hashem Lo Yadun Ruchi Ba'Adam Lo Olam B'Shagam Hu Basar V'Yomav Me'ev Esrim Shana. It continues in Pasuk Hey Vayar Hashem Ki Raba Ra'ata Adam Ba'aretz V'Kol Yetzer Machshavot Libo Rak Rakol Hayam V'Yinachem Hashem Ki Asah Et Adam Ba'aretz V'Yitatzev El Libo V'Yomer Hashem Imche Et Adam Asher Barati. And the thing which is going to bother us a lot is Pasuk Zion, where it says Kini Chamti Ki Asitem, and so on. What does that mean? That God has creator's regret. So how exactly does that work? So yes, this is troubling. But I'm just pointing out over here that the usage in this whole section of the name of Yudke Vovke, Elokim, which is generally Rachamim and so on. And that is what is judging or expressing the problem with man is actually, I think, a little bit more interesting than we may have noted when we read this the first time around. But what I wanted to point out something else, which goes back to my initial question. Look at this verse, Pasuk Bet. V'yir'u b'nei Elohim, so they see something. What do they see? It's b'nei Adam, ki tavot heina. Now they see something which is, and tavot I would translate as fine, but what we have over here is a situation of lust, and they act on the lust. V'yichu lahem nashim mikol ha-shebacharu. So all that I want you to do is to compare that to source number 2. V'teira isha, ki tova eitz l'machal, v'ki tevahu le'naim. V'nechmara eitz l'askil. So they see Tov, there's Ta'ava, which means, when I asked you before, are we dealing with independent stories? I hope you notice that conceptually and linguistically, you have a really strong echo in the behavior of these people. And by the way, maybe what's even more interesting is the Nachash insisting, no, if you do this, you will be like God. Hear the B'nai Elohim, they're like God. Well, they're like God, but that they're powerful. They have all kinds of power, and look what they're doing with the power. Again, they see something which they believe to be good, and they go, and there's lust, and they go, they act on it, and God, by the way, is not all that happy with it. That, to my mind, is interesting. If you look at Pasuk Vav in Source 1, Vayinachem Hashem ki asat adam ba'aretz. That's the first time it talks about this regret that God has, which is very hard to understand. If you want, we could look at all kinds of things that the commentaries say this. V'yitatzev el libo. And there is sadness on his heart, which is really difficult to understand. What is Vaynachem Hashem v'yitatzev el libo? But again, I want to point something out. If you look at the punishment of man in source number 2 from Pasuk Tet, Here you have, in terms of in Pasuk Tet Zayin there, sorry, it says, Lishamar harbe harbe etunech varenech be'etzev tilbi. Here you have etzev, and right afterwards, when Adam is going to be punished, you're going to have a similar word which is used when it says, Aru adama bavrecha be'itzvon tochlena. So therefore, the etzev is here by Eve, and the etzev is there by Adam, and here the etzev over here is by God. And my suggestion that perhaps that, you know, we would just think, yeah, this is a new story, this has nothing to do with the old story. Well, maybe that's not so simple. It's also interesting, and I just want to go back to some things that we know. Or maybe we don't. In the first chapter, which name of God was used? So you have to know that, because it's the first pasuk, should give it away. Bereshit bara Elohim. In the first 12 verses of Bereshit, the name Elohim is used in every one of those verses. And sometimes even more than once. And Elohim, you know, we believe, we understand to be Midat Adin, God acting as a judge. Rashi, in the very beginning, right there, it's not the first Rashi, it's not the Zionist Rashi, it's the theological Rashi right afterwards, in source 3, Bara Elohim, Velo Namar Bara Hashem, Shebetchila, that's God's original thought. Rosh ain't alo mitkayem, but he knows the world's not going to last. Now, where is that the world's not going to be mitkayem? What exactly is that point? And therefore, later on, we hear, and most of chapter 2, it's not the very beginning of chapter 2, most of chapter 2 is all Hashem Elohim. And it's really interesting to track down in the next number of chapters which name of God is being used. I already pointed out that we, in chapter 6, we have Hashem being used. The name Hashem is being used over here. Although, in chapter 3, Perek Gimel, which is where the sin takes place, when Eve and the Nachash discuss eating from the fruit, they only speak about Elohim. It's this judgmental God who only allows them to eat a limited amount of produce. But when God re-enters, and then in order to give the punishment, which maybe that's really what Rashi was referring to, that's Pasuk Tet here in Source 2, Vayikra Hashem Elokim El Adam Vayom Elo Yeka. Now that's fascinating, because if this were purely God acting as judge, it should be Vayikra Elokim. No, it's Hashem Elokim, which actually means that even though we were told, I'm totally ruining this for you, because if you don't know the book, you know, this is like a total... spoiler alert over here, because theoretically, when they eat from the tree, they should all die. Instead, what happens? What happens is that somehow they survive. And Hashem Elohim says, Ayeka, Eli Yishomar, and then we end up having these punishments taking place. But all the punishments over here seem to be less than what we thought was going to happen. But the discussion over here is Hashem Elohim. So that again is interesting. If I go back and I read those words of the Nitziv that I started to read before, and you noticed I made those certain letters really big here, Yadua dira, kolkach da'at enoshi. Is he talking about the ability of man to have da'at before the sin, or is he talking about the corruption of da'at after the sin? And by the way, it's very clear to me. I don't know if it's clear to anybody else. But he actually says it. He says that animals don't have that kind of bad dat. I mean, if you want, you can read it again. Yadua dira. I mean, I just love that, because they eat from the eitzadat tovara. Yadua dira hu bein adam l'chaveiro. And he says, ki dat enoshi ad shekol machshavim haya eich lahara la'achirim. Right? V'asher ein behem dat kol kach lazik kmo adam. So that's, to me, all of this is really interesting. Is that, and look at what he says further, the ones I didn't get to the very end before. And when he says, Ayin Shemash Sefer Vayikra, right, and Lahalan Parashat Noach, Shabi Arnu de Hashchatat Hada'at B'ta'ava. Can you just think for a second? When did the Da'at get destroyed by Ta'ava? I don't think that's so hard to figure out now. when she sees this tree, Eitz Hadat Tov V'Ra, and it's Tavahu Le'inayim, and there, by the way, the Ramban says a lot of this, I think clearly, that that's what the tree caused. It causes there to be this Ta'ava. That is going to be this corruption of the inner world or of the mind of the individual, whereby this something takes over the mind. Again, what was fascinating in this Netziv is his focus on the extent that it applies to the Bidin Adam Chavero. By the way, if you combine the two together, what do you get? If you combine Ta'ava together, especially if it's sexual, and that's the way the Ramban explains it, and you combine that together with damage in terms of Bidin Adam Chavero, interpersonal relations, what do you end up? You end up with people, the Bnei Elohim, who are going and grabbing every woman that they want. Why? Because that's the combination of a corrupt world. And I'll now say it again, is that when I read this verse in the beginning, that to me sounds so much like an echo of Tira Yishaki Tova Eitz Lamachal V'Kitavahu Le'inayim. It sounds very much to me that this is the acting out upon of that corruption of which was warned much earlier, and now we have a generation which is living by those rules of a corrupt inner world. And what happens when you live with a corrupt inner world? Then the outer world becomes corrupt as well. And that seems to be exactly what is being played out over here. In Perek Vav, it's Elokim now. And again, this gets divided. The introduction to the whole story is V'noach Matzachin B'nei Hashem. All of this is Hashem, and then it switches over to Elokim, and then it switches over back to Hashem, which means the instructions for the flood begin with Elokim speaking to Noach, and so on. V'tichshere ta'aretz lefnei Elokim, source number 5, V'tichshere ta'aretz ve'al Elokim, and so on and so forth. And all those initial instructions come from Elohim until we get to the point about bringing the 7 animals, which later on presumably we bring for Korbanot, and there you have Yudke Vavke brought back into the story. In source number 6, it's Elohim, says Tse Minateva, which is interesting because now it flips back Elohim and man gets a new instruction of Pru Uravu. And Adam then, and by the way, everything I'm saying now is difficult for the documentary hypothesis, because now this section starts with Elohim, but then Vayiven Noach Mizbeach LaHashem, and Vayarach Hashem et Reach Nichoach, Vayomar Hashem El Libo Lo Siflakalel Odet Adam, Ki Yetzer Lev Adam Ra Minu Urav. Which, and part of the reason this is so interesting is that this end part of the story seems to be the continuation of what we had at the beginning part of the story. In the beginning part, you have God noticing and regretting this creation of man who does all of this evil, v'chol yetzer machshavot libo, and now it's God having these, again, God has these machshavot, as it were, to get rid of man. And over here, again, ki yetzer lev adam ra min yarav, it's very close in language in terms of what was said earlier, in terms of that beginning. I hope that what I'm just now said is at least a little clear. This, I don't want to call it a problem, this challenge of moving back and forth from Hashem to Elohim, and then back to Hashem and to Elohim again, and then back to it really is not as simple as I'm making it sound. So therefore, the good news is if you're feeling somewhat confused, excellent, because it means then you understood everything exactly what I'm saying, and we're not exactly sure what is taking place over here. Yes, that Rashi about God combining together the two in order to be able to deal with man is good, because pure Elohim or pure judgment is something that we're not going to survive. But nonetheless, something really catastrophic did take place over here. Okay. Also notice in chapter 2, it's source 8, Vayitzav Hashem Elohim, not to eat from the tree, it's Hashem Elohim. Good. Source 9, now we're going back to try to understand what it was that God was, lamenting. Source 9, we'll start with Rashi, we'll see a couple of other commentators, and then we'll get to something which I think is meaningful. Not that Rashi isn't, but Rashi is where we start. V'nechem Hashem ki yasa. Nechama hita lefanav shebaro b'tachtonim, she'ilo hoyu min ha'elyonim, hoyamam ridan, v'yitzatzev ha'adam. So, Rashi over here is telling us the creation of man with his human frailty is what God laments. By the way, it doesn't mean that God has what I called before creator's remorse. It's not remorse. It's lamenting man who is so capable of making bad decisions. And God, compared to even angels who don't have choice, man is going to be creating pain for themselves, for others. I mean, these people who are acting upon what they think is good and therefore causing pain to others, that is something which God is lamenting. El Libo, another line down, Shel Makom, that God, again, in his heart, as it were, with a capital H, Allah b'machshavato Shel Makom lihi atzvo. Now that's really interesting because we had that Allah b'machshava beforehand, which was the creating and judgment, and then create, and then merging or fusing together midat ha-rachamim together with the midat hadin, because otherwise man would just simply not be here. And he continues, Davar achav yinachem nehafcha machshavato Shel Makom midat rachamim lemidat hadin. Allah b'machshava lefanav mala asot ba'adam. So this is really interesting because we were told in the very first verse that why does it say midat, why does it say Elokim and then it switches over to Hashem Elokim? But what happens over here? It's only Elokim. What happened to that fusion together? Why is it only judgment? And Rashi actually, I know it may sound like a contradiction, but essentially, part of being God is the you have the prerogative of using which particular trait you feel is necessary to use in this particular situation. And over here, God, again, it rises up this thought within God, whatever this means, and God switches over midat racham to midat hadin. So I'm going to again point this out. This difficulty in the parsha, which it seems to me, and I don't want to overstate this, but this is what it seems to me. It's almost like you can't understand what's taking place over here unless somehow you figure out why. It's not just why different names of God are being used. It's unless you figure out what are the different traits are taking place over here and what exactly is this interaction. And I'm going to say it again. Rashi gave us a code over here, but unfortunately only a code, because Rashi doesn't spell it all out for us. He essentially says, yeah, God, now the time has come, judgment has come, and God is putting on his judgment hat, and therefore what's taking place over here, now the name has become switched, because a moment ago it was Hashem, which itself is fascinating. Why it was Hashem, Yudke Vavke, looking at all the failures of man, and then Elohim comes in, and with that will of course come the flood. So I hope I'm being a little bit clearer, but I hope to get clearer as I go to the next couple of steps. The Ibn Ezra, who's troubled by the possible misunderstandings, just pushes it away and tells us that we're dealing with anthropomorphisms over here. Don't get... By the way, those are the two approaches. One is anthropomorphism, and the other is that you can then pivot and say, well, everything's very mystical and you don't understand it. Most of the mystical commentaries I had over here at some point, and then I cut them out. I said, okay, I'm just letting you know they're there. The Ramban is the starting point, and the Rakanati has a long discussion, quoting from the Zohar, from the Bahir, from other places. We're not doing it. It's there, but let's stay with Ibn Ezra for a second. V'yinachem Hashem yadua ki lo adam hu linachem. God's not man. God doesn't change his mind. It's not God's prerogative to change his mind. It's not changing his mind, but rather it's God revealing different aspects. Rak dibra Torah kalashim b'nei adam. That the Torah is using an anthropomorphism over here. It's giving God, quote unquote, human type of qualities. And what's taking place over here, it's saying God is acting or God is interacting with us in a slightly different way. The Bechor Shor in 12, Yitatsev El Libo, El Libo Shel Adam Shehura. Now that's really interesting, because he shifted from what we had seen before. It says that his heart, Vayitatsev Al Libo, God was sad because of his heart. And again, I told you, the Etzev was there in the punishments that man receives. But it's saying, who's upset? Vayitatsev El Libo. libo shel adam shehura, that man who has become corrupt is something which, quote unquote, if you want anthropomorphically, saddens God. But it's not that God's, it's not that v'tatzeva libo, that God now is all sad and now God is depressed and now God has to go for therapy and so on. No. Is that, yes, you have this anthropomorphism, but it's taking place because of man's corruption. Look what has happened to man. Look at the Chizkuni v'tzatzeva libo, source 15, Shiatzu levroto, devaracha v'tzatzeva libo adam kai. No, it's not talking that God is upset because he created. It's that God is upset because of man. HaKadosh Baruch Hu netatzev b'shvil libo shel adam sheyachoshev machshavot ra'ot, is because man's, and this is what I said before, this is really goes back to that netziv I showed you, that man's inner world has become corrupt. And I'm just skipping one point, and that one point is, well, how did that happen? When did that take place? It's mourning. It's not that God is upset. It's that God mourns for man. God mourns for man because man has become so corrupt. So I'm going to ask you again. So when did this happen? So now the easy way for us to read this, just maybe read one more thing first, and that's 16, the Datskenim Bala Tosfot. And notice that all of the commentaries that have gone in this direction have all been influenced by the Tosfot school, including the Ibn Ezra, by the way. Depends which point the Ibn Ezra was writing. That God mourned for man's corrupt heart. Shanatan Sor b'isa. By the way, sor b'isa, those of you familiar with that turn of phrase, that's the Eitz Hara. It's that shenatan sor b'isa. So, v'amar ani hu shenatati, ani hu shasiti, v'yadati ki yetzer lev adam ra. So, but why does man have Eitz Hara? Because God gave him Eitz Hara. So, there is still something else over here that I want to get to and try to work this out. The one who's going to do the absolute best job of this, again, it's not that we're, you know, that we rate our mefarshim, but I told you, it just seemed to me that unless somebody really goes through to understand this interaction, it's hard to understand. It's the one who does an incredible job here, and we're not going to read the whole thing. I'm going to leave you with a little bit of homework. Is in source 17, the Alshech. The Alshech, if you just notice here, meaning he starts to hold it. Pure Midat Din, everyone should be wiped out. By the way, he questions even why Noach should have survived. And, or what about Noach's kids? And he really does this work of trying to understand what is taking place over here, how to read this chapter in terms of this going back and forth between Elohim to Hashem, Midat Adim and Midat Rachamim. Essentially, he's asking, why is man saved? What essentially took place over here? Did man deserve to be saved? So, those of you who've been noticing that I've been essentially saying something but not saying it, I want to finally say it. I want to say it, and I want to say it very, very clearly now. It seems to me that the introduction to the flood story had that powerful echo of the sin that took place in the Garden of Eden. It's this corruption of man has taken place. And I want to go back to something which I said towards the end of last week's class or last week's shiur, and that is when Adam and Eve ate from the fruit, did the punishment come about because they defied the word of God, or was it the consequences of eating from that tree? Which means, is it one where, I'll even go so far as to say it's Simon says, except Simon is Hashem Elokim, and Hashem Elokim said, don't eat it. You ate it, so you failed. That's it. But there's nothing about it itself. Now, you all know that what I just now said is not really true. How do you know that? I just want to say it's very nice to see students from many, many years ago. You know who you are. Okay. You even smiled. So, you all know that it's not just a question of Simon Says, yes? How do you know this? Because immediately after they ate from it, something happened. They realized that they were naked. They had this need to cover up, which means a change took place. So I want to go back to this fruit that was ingested and ask my same question. When God says, when you eat from this tree, the day you eat from this tree, you're going to die. Now, all of us go back and say, hold it a second, but they didn't die. Well, it's Hashem Elohim said you're going to die. So when Hashem Elohim says you're going to die, does that really mean you're going to die immediately? Was that confusing? I didn't mean it to be confusing. When Elohim says you're going to die, the punishment is coming, because as Hashem is a judge. When Hashem Elohim says you're going to die, does that mean immediately? It means you're going to die, you deserve to die, we're going to think about you dying, it's going to happen at some point. Do you understand what I just now did? Because it's Hashem Elohim. That's the difference between Elohim versus Hashem Elohim. And when Rashi told us in the very beginning, no, God had to fuse them together because man wouldn't exist. What does it mean where man wouldn't exist? What would happen that man wouldn't exist? Answer, he'll eat from the tree and he'll die immediately. Which means if Elohim says don't eat it and you eat it, you die immediately. But if Hashem Elohim says you're going to die, the day you eat it, you're going to die, it's negotiable. Did that make any sense? I think that's exactly what Rashi was telling us. But what's the problem from eating from the tree? The problem from the eating from the tree is that it changes us. It changes us. It creates internal corruption. Now, how do I know that internal corruption took place? Answer, because the world became corrupt. Was that hard? What did I just now do? I'm claiming that the corruption that we're meeting, where there is this lust and this desire and so on, which is taking place in the beginning or the introduction to Parshat Noach, is all the ramifications of eating from the tree. You realize now what follows. Something else follows now. And what's that? That all the death and destruction that takes place as a result of the flood is actually the implementation of God saying, when you eat this, you're going to die. This is going to lead to death. This is going to lead to corruption. This is going to lead to a world which is going to be a horrific place. This is going to lead to all kinds of terrible things which are taking place. Which means what I'm trying to work out is what exactly is there a connection between the flood and between the earlier section? Or are these just two completely different? Say, no, what are you talking about? That's Parsha Bereishit. This is Parsha Noach. We moved on. This is just completely different. Or, no, maybe we haven't moved on as much as we thought we had moved on. Right? That's exactly what my point is. Let me try again now. And I told you, I'm not going to read through the whole Al-Sheikh, but the Al-Sheikh at least is dealing with the problem that needs to be dealt with. That's the problem. But there's another book over here, Source 18, which is the Tzedek L'Derech. Tzedek L'Derech, I gave you a whole bunch of biographical information over here. Yisachar Dov Ben Yisrael Lazer Parnas Eilenberg was born in Posen, Poland, 1550. He died in Austerlitz, Moravia, 1623. When he's younger, he studies with Lavush of Mordechai Yafo, and he writes a book called the Be'er Sheva, which is actually, I think, somewhat well known. And he was on his way to Tzfat, you see, to become a rabbi there. Now, something else happened along the way. This is the biography which is there in the Bar Ilan Shut. But there's a little bit more information about him. He ended up coming under the influence of this fellow, Rabbi Yitzchak ben Shlomo is the Arizal. He did come under the influence of the Arizal, but hold on a second. Notice the Arizal's years, 1534, 1572. He lives from 1550, right? So the Arizal is not even known at that point till 1623. The Arizal is going to die in 1572, so he's going to be 22 years old, and he's going to hear about the Arizal pretty soon. Who is he going to hear it from? From somebody named Rabbi Yisrael Strug. Rabbi Yisrael Strug is going to bring, he'll claim, by the way, to be a student of the Arizal. Whether he was or wasn't is itself interesting. He is going to come off travel to Europe and bring the Arizal's teaching in his own flavor to Europe, and this is going to be one of his students who's going to study with him. So along the way, he's going to end up getting somewhat Kabbalistic, so I think we have enough information now to deal with. He writes this book also on Chumash called Tzedek L'Derech. Vayar Hashem, Source 18, Ki Rabara Ata Adam Ba'aretz. Milat ba'aretz hu miyutar. V'nir li shapirish milat ba'aretz im ha'aretz. Shagam ha'aretz zinta. Kedi yit b'resha rabba, the earth itself became corrupt. Whatever that means. V'od yesh lomar ba'aretz b'shvil ha'aretz. Al derech shechatav Ramban zel shepri etz adat haya molid ta'avat ha'mishkal, that it created sensual or sexual desires. Ulechein kisu memor. That's why they cover up their nakedness right away, because it created a sexual awakening or awareness. Ulechein katav beparshat Noach v'hinini mashchitam im ha'aretz. Ha'aretz im ha'aretz. Ki ha'aretz garma l'adam rishon shechata be'etz adat. V'ayidei zeh hayalo l'chol zaro tshuka gdola el aznut. Right? And he's telling you right now that what I was trying to figure out, and again, I'll be very honest, it wasn't that I found this source and then I worked everything backwards. It's that I knew that someone had to say this, and after noticing what I had noticed in terms of the B'nai Elohim, the B'not Adam, I was just looking for somebody who actually said it, and he says it. Ki ha'aretz gorma la'adam rishon shechata be'etz adat v'yidei zeh hayalo l'kol zaro tshuka gdola el aznut. I'm skipping a little bit. Uval told Yitzchak, which, by the way, that's Rav Yitzchak Karo, Rav Karo's uncle. Ba'yarshim kirab rab adam. Ba'aretz kaitzemach sholi barak ra. Kavanah shemach shavat b'nei adam kula hayuraot. Like we had seen, you know, the Netziv saying much later. Lo yamach shavat tova b'hem. Aval hama'asim lo yukulam ra'im el rubam. V'zayah rabat ra'a adam. That man's inner world was corrupt, but they weren't acting on it in every way possible, although they're going in that direction. They didn't regret their bad thoughts. El lefisha harishaim in yotzi lefoa kol machshavotam lefishesh rishim kamota mitkomemim lenegdam olasiva acherot. He says that evil people can't always do all the evil which lurks in their mind, because sometimes there's other powerful evil people who will kill them if they try to do all the evil things that they want to do. So he says the lack of implementation of all the things that were in their hearts or minds was only because of lack of opportunity, but anything else. But as I said, this is really where I wanted to get to, because he sees all of this negativity, which is all around, as being directly connected to the sin that had taken place in the Garden of Eden. Now, before we end on a very negative thought, and look how terrible everything, and essentially everything's hopeless, because then theoretically all man for eternity is full of this negativity, I want to remind us of something which we've said many times. The Eitz Hadaat Tov V'ra is a tree of a combination of Tov V'ra, which sometimes creates confusion between good and evil. It creates, according to the Sforno, an ability for us to justify the bad that we do and think that the bad that we're doing is good. But that means that there is both good there and bad there, and there's a danger in that. But what I just now really spent all the time showing is all the ra which is there, and how now God has to treat the ra, and that, I'll say it again, that maybe to go back to that Al-Shech, but that's interesting on how that needs to be dealt with, because sometimes when something is evil, you need to use power, and you used to use similar types of things in order to deal with that evil which exists, and everyone understands everything that I'm saying. So, but I instead of being completely negative, I want to point out a shocking, now it really has to be shocking, right? A shocking statement where maybe something good came out of all of this anyway. And if I didn't see this inside, I don't know if I could have said this by myself. So let's take a look. When Eve sins, I just want to go back to Eve, and I want you to remember the turn of phrase over here. Source 2, Vatera Isha, Kitova Eitz L'Ma'achal. So she sees it as being good. Of course, it's good and bad, and that's the great way to sin, is make believe there's no bad there. Ki tova eitz l'machal, v'ki ta'avat hu le'inayim. Right? Just like the powerful men, we'll say, oh, it's tovot, everything is good over here, and not realize the immorality involved in it. V'ki ta'avat hu le'inayim. And that there's something over here that's lustful, which is never good. V'nechmad ha'eitz l'haskil. Now, what in the world does that mean? V'nechmad ha'eitz l'haskil. So I said, this is the part which if I wouldn't have seen it, I couldn't have said it. So let's go all the way down to page number 6, which I think it's possible I sent down only 5 pages. So let's look at source. Yes, so I'll get you this the 6th page, source 19. Rabbi Yossi bar Zimra Amar Shlosha Devarim Nemru Boto Ilan Tov the Machal Yafali Naim Umosif Chachma Ushloshta Nemru Pasuk Echad V'Tira Isha Kitov Mikan Shu Tov V'Kidivahu Leinayim Mikan Shu Yafali Naim V'Nechmar Eitz Laskil Mikan Shemosif Chachma. It also gives wisdom. And then look at the conclusion, hat ma at da'at amar, and that's what the verse means when it says maskil le'itan ha'ezrachi. Now, anybody who got that already, excellent. But of course, you need to know what is the etan ha'ezrachi, or who is the etan ha'ezrachi. In Tehillim, in source 20, it says maskil le'itan ha'ezrachi. That's what it's referring to. Chazdei Hashem Olam. That's a hint already, by the way. Chazdei Hashem Olam Ashira. That somebody who's going to celebrate the chesed of God, which lasts forever. Now, who's the one who identifies with the chesed of God? That's also going to be your hint. But the Gemara tells you in source 21. David katav sefer tehillim ayidei asara zekenim. David, King David, wrote sefer tehillim, but there is a little bit of collections that he used in order to put it together. But lichshov nami etana ezrachi. But you have to remember the etana ezrachi, because that says maskil etan ezrachi. This is a song for the etan. Amarav, who is this etana ezrachi? Etana ezrachi ze hu Avraham. Tivhacha etana ezrachi tivhacha miyir mi mizrach tzedek. So I'm just going to pause here for a second. According to this, what we just now saw, if you're going to go backwards, the who is the etana ezrachi? It is Avraham. Avram is the maskil le'etan. He is the one who becomes maskil. Where did the haskalah, the education of Avram, come from? The Midrashim just now said in source 19, v'nechmad ha'etz laskil, mikan shemosif chachma. It gives wisdom. Who got that wisdom? Maskil le'etan ezrachi, Avram Avinu. So therefore, before the flood, we have all of this terrible behavior of all the people who are channeling the Yetzer Hara, doing horrific things, but it's an Eitz Hadat Tov Hara. And it's also something which is good lahaskil. And who's the one who's able to somehow distill from this tree something which is positive and take the wisdom and take the chachma? The answer is Avram Avinu. This Midrash is claiming, I hope I'm not overstating this, this Midrash is claiming that Avram Avinu, who somehow figures out that God created the world and figures out that God is a God of chesed, according to what we just now read, all of that comes because Eve ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and she was correct that it was Nechmad Lahaskil. The problem is that most people only used the Ra in it, and they channeled in this sexuality and this violence and this Ra, and that's the negativity that went into people's hearts, which is so much more interesting now that God laments all the people whose hearts are corrupted, and probably is thinking to himself, you know, the tree had other attributes as well. It also can make you really smart and can make you figure out that there's a God who created the world and a God who created the world out of kindness, and therefore what we really need to do is not to use our abilities in order to control others, but we need our abilities in order to be kind to others and therefore to try to emulate God. Which means that who would have thought that the sin of Adam and Eve, I'll just pause there for a second. Who would have thought that that led directly to the sin by the flood? All of us should have thought it if we would have been thinking. We all should have realized that. But who possibly would have thought that from the same tree there was some other ingredients in it and there's other properties or qualities within it which can actually create an Avram Avinu who could then use this wisdom in order to do the exact opposite of what these people are doing and or instead come to this conclusion, well, look at this beautiful world that God created. What an act of chesed all of this is. Let me go and create like God created. Let me now go create a world of chesed and let me go and create a followers of chesed and let me completely change the world. So there's hope. We could be in a corrupt world and we can take all the corruption and use it in the most horrific ways and then God laments those hearts. Or we can take wisdom which is there and available and use it in order to create empathy and create kindness and create decency. And that's what Avram chooses, which means our story begins with Avram, and we're descendants of Avraham, and that there's hope there because this both comes from the same tree. And who would have possibly have imagined? And therefore, in a certain sense, Hashem Elokim also is the one who says not to eat from the tree, because they're both elements are right there. There's going to be something very judgmental, but there's something which goes right back to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to Shem Havaya, to this ultimate chesed. And therefore, this tree is far more complicated than we imagined, and its impact goes on far longer than we possibly imagined as well. And you all have to admit you had no idea where I was going today. Okay, everybody, we should hear only good news, and God should protect all of our soldiers and all of our people, and we should have peace, which breaks out all over, and all evil should completely be eradicated. Hopefully, they find the place in their hearts to get rid of their evil, but if that doesn't seem to work out, I said hopefully. Stu, calm down. I know you from Brooklyn. That hopefully that will happen. But if it doesn't, so then perhaps in other ways. But all of our soldiers and people, God willing, will be protected. And hopefully we find the positive qualities in order to do far more good. And that's really what you see our side. The amount of chesed which is taking place right now is absolutely amazing. And it goes back to being children of Avraham. Okay, so everybody have a good Shabbos.